Amen. We have been talking about love the last few weeks. And last week we began looking at what love is. And as we look at that subject, you know, it's interesting, but if you ask a whole bunch of people what love is, they would probably give you a lot of different answers. And I thought this morning I'd play a video I played last week if you weren't here. Last week, and also if you were here, just remind us how different people might think what love actually is. Jimmy's going to play the video now.
Love is something like a heart.
Makes you hyper?
It's too hard to say.
When you
I don't know.
Tell me. I don't know. But it's crazy.
My mom and my dad.
My family.
My friends.
Sleep.
I love my dog.
Catfish.
My house.
Strawberry pie.
My church.
My brothers.
The Xbox.
Basketball.
I love my stuffed animals.
Disney World.
My mom and dad. And Noah.
Babies.
Jesus.
Wheel of Fortune.
Well, I'm not going to say, I'm just going to spell it K-I-S-S.
I'm going to give them movies. Grown-up movies.
More grown-up movies.
Be nice to them and, like, be sweet to them.
Care a lot.
Grown-up hats.
And grown-up tables.
It's one of the crazy things I know.
So we've seen that love is very important. In fact, Paul said the greatest of these things that he could think of, faith and hope, the greatest was love. And that as we think about our lives and all the things that may be in our life, the most important thing is that we love. And it's funny because I can think of a whole bunch of things that if people were to list, we'd put them up on top. But he says the most important thing is love and that we love one another. So last week we began to look at what love is. And I mentioned last week, as we look at the words here that describe love, every one of these words are verbs, which kind of hints to us, tells us that love is not a feeling, it is an action. It's not a feeling. You know, someone might say, well, I feel like I love you. Love is not a feeling, it is an action. We only know love by what it does. And I only know if you love me by what you do. We only know if you love God by what you do. Love is an action. Love is only love when it acts. So we looked at eight of these words last week that told us about what love is. And this morning, we are going to look at seven more of the things that tell us, look, this is love. So let's begin this morning with number nine in our list. We find it in verse 5. In fact, it's the last one in verse 5. Notice verse 5. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Now, the word that is used here is a bookkeeping term, which means that you would go to a ledger, and in the ledger you would write down an amount that you would want to record and keep so that you would remember that record. But I know this morning that probably three-quarters of us have no idea what a ledger even is. In fact, how many of you know what a ledger is? Raise your hand. Oh, that's better than I thought. But anyway, I thought I'd help us even more in our mind in the electronic world that we live in. This word has the idea, for example, if you play a video game And in that video game, you get high score, so you go nuts. And you want to make sure everybody remembers, so you record that high score, you mark it, so that every time someone goes back, you can sit there and say, that's my high score. That's this word. In fact, if you've ever written a letter on a computer, and on your computer you hit save, that's this word. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. It does not make a note of a wrong so that you can come back at a later point and bring that wrong up. Romans chapter 4 says, blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. Let me ask you this morning. Is there something that someone did to you, or at least you feel someone did to you, and you're still angry about it? Is there something that somebody did to you and you're kind of got that thing in the back of your mind and you can't wait for the opportunity to remind them of that event? That is not love. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love does not say, you know, you get in an argument, I remember back in 1942 on, you know, January 5th that you did this. Love doesn't do that. Second Corinthians 5:19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Are you keeping a record against your spouse? Your children? Your friends? Your parents? Are you keeping a record that, you know, you're waiting for that opportunity to bring it back up? If you are, you're not acting in love. You're not being loving. Love says, all right, here's the wrong. I'm sticking it where it can't ever be seen again. And I'm covering it over. Because love does not keep a record of wrongs. Every time you keep a record of a wrong, you are not acting in love. Number 10, verse 6. Love does not delight in evil. The word delight, it's an easy word. It means to rejoice, to be glad. The word that is used for evil here is a word that means exactly the opposite of righteousness. So if we were to take righteousness and we would put a no in front of it, So the word that is used here is the idea that when someone is loving, they do not delight in that which is wrong. They do not delight in that which is evil. They do not delight in that which is wrong according to God's word. You know, the Corinthians did. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about an immoral situation, and it said the Corinthians were happy about it. The other day, as is not unusual in our society, a new show came out that is right up there with all that is immoral. It is called The Modern Family. And in that show, it shows all kinds of immoral family situations. And what they want you to do is they want you to sit there and they want you to laugh and have a great time in front of all that goes against the word of God when it relates to the family. And you know, we as Christians sometimes sit in front of TV programs and it's some of the most garbage junk there, and we say, oh, this is so funny, this is so great. And all we're doing is delighting in evil and going against what really love is. Love does not delight in evil. Love and right always go together. Love and truth always go together. fact, I want you to notice right here in this verse, it gives us the 11th one, and it relates to the 10th. It says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love does the opposite of delighting in evil. It rejoices with the truth. The word rejoice is the same word that is used here for delight. It's a word that has the combination with it, meaning with. So it's saying, look, when it's not rejoicing with that which is wrong, but really what's going on here, when it rejoices, it's rejoicing with that which is right, the truth. In fact, if you look in the Bible, what you find is all throughout the Bible, you find love and truth always go together. And that's why I can't understand it. When someone says they love someone, they think it's okay to lie to them. If you are lying to someone and you say that you love that person, I want you to know you are not loving them. A lie is not an act of love. Love always goes hand in hand with the truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Some people say, you know, it really doesn't matter if I tell the truth or not. It really doesn't matter what I believe as long as I love. You know, that statement makes no sense according to the Word of God. Love and truth go hand in hand. Love always rejoices in truth. Let me say it this way. If you lie for whatever reason, the very moment that you lie to someone, you are no longer acting in love. In fact, listen to this. Proverbs 28:28. When the wicked rise to power, people go in hiding. I wrote the wrong verse down. Here's what it says in Proverbs. It says, the person you lied to, you hate. When you lie to someone, you're actually hating that person. Love always tells the truth. Love never compromises truth. Love does not lie to one that you love. It always tells the truth. Love is honest. And that is why it hurts so much when someone lies or someone says something and lies to the person they love. When a trust has been broken, when someone says they love you and then they lie to you and you find out they've lied to you, that is why that hurt goes so deep. Because way down the depths of our heart, we know that love always tells the truth. Love does not lie. Number 12, verse 7. Love always protects. Now, you hear that word and you think, all right, love means that if someone's breaking in your house, you know, you're going to get a gun or you're going to get your fist or you're going to get a club and you're going to have to, you know, if you die, you're going to make sure you protect the people you love. That is not the sense of this word whatsoever. That is not the idea of protecting that we find in this word. In fact, this word literally means to put a roof on something. So think of it. Love puts a roof on something. Now, the house next to me, their garage was caving in. And we'd come in out of our house all the time in that garage. Yeah, every so often you would see the roof just a little bit further and a little bit further down until finally there was a gigantic hole in it until we were saying, I wonder when that guy's going to fix his roof. Everything in his garage must be really getting all messed up because he's letting all the rain and everything else just go right in through that roof. Why, you know, love puts a roof on something. Here's the idea. Love keeps something confidential. It keeps it silent. It has the idea that you pass over something in silence. You keep it quiet. Love is not quick to publicize the sins of the person loved. Have you ever seen couples sometimes? And either the wife or the husband, they can't wait to tell everybody how bad their spouse is. Yeah, I got the worst spouse in the world. I mean, you don't even have any idea how bad my spouse is. My spouse is really rotten. If there's any spouse like my spouse, you would really realize how rotten the person could be. I want you to know when you're doing that, you're not loving. Love passes over the failures, the sins of the one loved. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers over an offense promotes love. Whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. It does not mean we ignore or that we condone sin, but that we deal with sin as quietly as possible, and that we do not become a gossip. You know, there's a phrase that has so often been used regarding love, and it's simply not biblical or true. You ever hear someone say, love is blind? I want you to know love is not blind. Infatuation may be blind. Lust may be blind, but love is not blind. Love is not blind. Love sees, but still loves. Love sees the faults. Love sees the sins. Love sees the inadequacies of the person that is loved. But love loves in spite of those things. John MacArthur wrote, I always wonder about married people who constantly talk about the errors and faults and sins of their partners. I question whether they know the meaning of love, because love throws a blanket over someone else's faults. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The word atoning sacrifice means to put a cover over. Do you broadcast the failures of the person you say you love? Do you gossip about your friends? You know, do you get on Facebook and say, you know what, my life is so miserable, my life is so terrible, my friends, you know, they're just not good to me, they don't care about me, they treat me horribly. Yeah, I think you could take all the internet stuff, and a lot of it's very good, but you got to be really careful. Facebook, email, all that stuff could be so much of a place just to spread gossip. I'm not saying don't use those things. I'm not saying don't go on them. You can keep contacts with one another, and you can find friends that you hadn't seen in years, and those things can have value, but I want you to know they can become a place of gossip. You can get on there and you can talk about all the faults of everybody else and how bad everybody else is. And the moment you're doing that, you are not loving. The problem is not the people you're talking about. The problem is the person who's doing the talking. The one who's doing the gossiping. Love wants to take the failures and the faults and the problems of the person they love, and they just want to cover it up, and they don't want everybody to know about it, because they want to protect the person they love. Number 13. Love always trusts. Notice verse 7. Love always trusts. The word that is used here for trust is the same word as faith. Love believes, same word. Love believes the best in someone instead of always being suspicious. You know, sometimes guys are going out to spend time with other guys in the church, and And your wives will say, are you going to meet another woman? That's not loving. Love believes all that it can about a person, about the one that they love, unless they have been clearly shown to be false. I'm amazed how you can do something to live with a person, be with a person, be friends with a person for many, many, many years, and then the moment someone says something about you, all of a sudden that person you thought was your friend, they're ready to believe the lie, they're ready to believe the gossip. That's not love. You know, if you love someone and you've built a relationship with someone, you've built a friendship with someone, and someone comes and says, hey, do you know what they did? You ought not to be rushing out to believe it. You ought not to be running out and saying, oh, really? I never knew they were like that. I can't believe they would do that. Well, maybe you ought to sit back and say, you know what? I don't believe that because I know that person. If you're going to get me to believe that, you better have a whole lot of evidence because I want you to know I love them and they've proven over the years to be trustworthy, and there's got to be a lot to get me to not trust them. Where there is doubt, love would rather err on the positive side. You know, a great example of this would be Job's friends. Remember Job's friends? Job got sick and he had all kinds of problems. His children died. I mean, everything that could wrong could go wrong. And Job's friends, they didn't know why it was all happening. But they came to Job and they gave him all kinds of bad reasons why it was happening. Instead of sitting next to Job and saying, you know what, Job? We know that you're righteous. We know that you love God. We know that you always do the right thing. We don't understand why all this is happening. We know it's not happening because you're a bad guy. But you know what, Job? Because we're your friends, we'll stick through it with you. Job's friends didn't do that. They believed the worst. And all of it was wrong. Are you quick to believe gossip about the person that you say you love? Are you quick to believe when someone comes and says, you know what, they did that? Are you quick to say, I love that person. I know they wouldn't do that. And if you're going to say that, boy, you got to have a lot of evidence. I'm not saying that sometimes people don't break our trust. Sometimes they do. I'm not saying that sometimes people, you know, don't play the hypocrite and they really are something other than what they portray to us. But what love does is to say, you know what, I love you and I'm going to believe you unless there's an awful lot of evidence that says there is reason for me not to believe you. Because I love you. Because love always trusts. What you notice in this verse is the 14th one. It says, love always hopes. Love always hopes. I think another way of saying this is that love is hopelessly optimistic. Love is hopelessly optimistic. It does not stop hoping. You ever see a mom? And everybody's saying, you know, you ought to give up on him, you ought to give up on him, you ought to give up on him, and there's plenty of reason to give up on him. But mom says, you know what, I'm never going to give up on him. And you know what, maybe there's someone who's being really rotten, being a real dog, being real horrible. And somebody is loving them and caring for them, and you're sitting back and saying, I want nothing to do with them. And you shouldn't have anything to do with them either. And the person says, yeah, you know what, I know all that, but I just hope they're going to come back. I'm going to keep the hand out because I'm just hoping they're going to come back. That's what love does. Love is hopelessly optimistic. When everybody else gives up, love hangs in there and says, I'm just going to keep hoping. I know they're messed up. I know it doesn't look good. I know they've had 100 chances and they've messed everyone up. But you know what? I'm just going to keep hoping that they come back. Because that's what love does. Love is not quick to write people off. Love is the story of the prodigal son, of the father standing there with his arms open, waiting for his lost son to come home. Verse 7. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes. Love always perseveres. You know, this is a military term. It means to hold a position at all costs. I read of a story about Korea. This guy got a Congressional Medal of Honor because they were up on this hill and the Chinese were attacking. It was a surprise attack by the Chinese during the Korean War. And these Chinese were all over the place and they were killing Americans and they're winning the battle. And up on this one hill, there was a small group of guys that they were going to keep that hill at all costs. And just about every one of them died. What this means is that love doesn't give up. Or I may say it this way. Love stands against incredible opposition and still loves. How easy is it for you to give up on someone? How easy is it for you to be offended by someone? It's not love. If you are easily offended, you're not loving. Love stands against incredible opposition. Love stands against incredible hurt, and it still loves. I think of Jesus when he came to his disciples, and he said to them, you know what? If a guy offends you, forgive him. And if he comes back and he offends you seven times in the same day, and he comes back and says, ask for forgiveness, forgive them. That's love. Because love perseveres. You know, it is important to understand that love is not just words. Love is not something you say. Love is not that cuddly, kind of right off in the sunset feeling of love. Love is an action. And you may say to somebody, you know what, I don't feel like I love you anymore. In every single one of those cases, I can go back and check the history of that relationship, and I can find somewhere along the line, people quit acting in love. And the reason you don't have those feelings anymore, reason the honeymoon has long been over, is because you've stopped doing the actions of love. And that's why the feelings are gone. Begin acting in love, and those feelings will come back. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given. I want you to know the 15 things that we've looked at last week and this week are not natural actions. They are the actions of a heart that God has gotten hold of and has caused it to love. True, real, biblical love is not human. It is divine. And it only happens as God works through our heart and God works through our life. So the things we've looked at over these last 2 weeks, they are not the ideal. They are what love is. So I would ask you this morning, are you really loving the people that you say you're loving? If you are, then we will see these 15 things. Let's pray. Father God, Your love for us is beyond imagination. It is your love that shows us what love is all about. And Father, I thank you that you've poured that love out into our hearts. And I pray that that love would come to a realization in our actions. So I, Father, pray for each person here this morning. I pray, Lord, they would understand what love really is and that they would be loving. So, Father, as we each leave here this morning, help us to evaluate our actions. And I pray, Lord, we would find them to be loving. And if we do not, I pray, Lord, we would work on our heart and begin to do the things that love does. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.